Now, she may be spoiled, but so am I. Oh, thank you. Forgot about it. Actually, I did it. Perfect. Okay. Once in a while, I remember. Just not very often.
What is that? It's like you knew I was going to be here.
Every time I teach a lesson like this, I figure everybody's going to say, "Are you preaching that at me?" My comeback is no, it's actually for me, but I just didn't want to admit it.
My cheeks are bruised.
You know, there's some teachings of the Bible are really simple. The one that says, "Be ye kind to me," right? In other words, you're supposed to be kind to me. But turning it around is not always quite as easy. This one, turning the other cheek. It's okay if we want to apply it to somebody else. But when it comes to applying it to ourselves, it can be a little bit challenging. But let's go back to that last verse that was John read just a minute ago. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Don't compare yourself with each other. I mean, we've all got a ways to go. I was kind of faced with a question from an individual this past week, and it was on the subject of gambling, and he's not a Christian, and it's kind of one of those things where he said, well, he just likes to take $40 once in a great while and knows he's going to lose it and sit down in the machine. And so we talked about some biblical principles. Number one's poor stewardship. As I was thinking about that, you remember the one talent man? He was given one talent and he didn't use it, but he still gave back the whole talent. And God didn't accept him. In gambling, you're giving back, if you play the deal that's popular? No, they're just as bad. It's them cards you buy. But anyway, they say that if you buy every ticket, you're going to get back 40 cents on the dollar. The lottery. Okay, if you play every ticket, you're going to get back 40 cents on the dollar. So, and I'm thinking about this, and of course I've looked at the principles of gambling, and I'm thinking how ridiculous. It's poor stewardship. But here, God's given me a talent, and if I don't give him back, if I just give him back a talent, I'm in bad shape. Can you imagine giving him back 40 cents on the dollar? Wow, I just thought about that. But anyway, this man asked me, he said, wouldn't you just gamble one penny? And so he's not a Christian, and he's, you know, he's supposed to live by the Bible as you and I are, but he's not a Christian. And so I was looking at this from a few standpoints. One is, if I throw one penny away, I'm a poor steward of it. And then I said, there's one other thing to consider. I said, what if somebody sees me gamble that one penny? What if I told them it's okay? And I thought, wow. You know, and I think of these hard lessons, and that's been one that has, it's really had an impression on me this week, as I obey the Lord because I want to obey the Lord. But I also recognize that if I cause one of these least to stumble, I'm going to give an account for it. And then I stopped to think about how many people look to me for an example. I remember when I was about 8 years old and I recognized that my 4-year-old nephew was following everything that I did. And ever since that, I've been very wide awake about what other people see in me. And I made a lot of mistakes over the years. And I'm thinking, wow. a lot of these lessons are difficult lessons, guys, and so even though you often may feel like these lessons are directed directly at you, I can honestly say that I had nobody in mind when I did this. So just so you know, that is the way it is. This is a hard teaching. How do you turn the other cheek when somebody's been mean to you? How do you turn around and be kind to somebody that has hurt you? And is it easy? No. But then you think about Jesus as he was scourged by those soldiers. And then compelled to carry that cross on his back. The scourging was so bad that it killed about 9 of 10, what I hear, and 1 of 10 was crippled for life. He had to put that cross on his back and carry it. Soldiers made him do that. Then they nailed him to it. And he looked out on them and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we think about somebody that has been mean to us. And if we compare ourselves to Jesus, we should be very ashamed to even think the thought. Turning the other cheek. I'm glad I finally figured out who had that saying, and it was Carrie. Don't let anybody have free rent in your head. If they're going to be mean to me, I'm going to do my best to be just as nice as possible. That way I can still find joy in the journey. Because I guarantee you, I cannot find any joy in the journey when they take up free rent in my head. But when I turn around and turn the other cheek, make myself vulnerable to more hurt, that's not always easy. And I think the key is this. Revenge isn't going to get you any good. It's not going to accomplish a thing. Don't seek revenge. Live for God. Now, I know that there's a lot of situations that can be brought up. I'm not saying make yourself vulnerable. We might need to absence ourselves from certain people's presence. That's okay. But we've got to be very careful. And of course, turning the other cheek is not seeking retaliation and allowing them an opportunity. Okay, that doesn't mean we won't absence ourselves from certain damaging situations. But it does mean that we have a certain response that we have. I want to look at the Old Testament comparison as we begin this lesson, because one of the things that we see Jesus doing throughout the Sermon on the Mount and in many other places, he's kind of looking at the Old Testament and some laws and some principles that were in place there. And then he brings it along and says, but I say to you. And that shows us that the law changed. It used to be the Old Testament law. Now it's the New Testament law, the law of Jesus. So in Exodus chapter 21, probably exactly where Jesus had in mind in verses 23 to 25, this kind of teaching, it says, "If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge determined. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." Stripe. And so as we look at the Old Testament, there was certainly situations in there where God says, look, if you hurt somebody, you're going to be hurt the same way you were hurt. And no doubt they looked at that. Now, I think it's very important. I think something that's easy for us to dismiss under the Old Testament law was that the Old Testament law was not just a spiritual law for the people, but it was really a judicial law. And a judicial law is a little bit different because it sets in order certain punishments for evil doing. And of course, you know, we've got to have law in the land. God's the one that puts governments in charge. And Paul said in Romans that the governor bears not the sword in vain. In other words, he can punish you, whether it's capital punishment, that's certainly insinuated within that passage, or it's fines, or it's imprisonment. Look, you do the crime, you do the time. And that's a judicial form of government. And that's really, I look at what is put into place here. And so, but the Jews had carried that into that, their, it seems, their spiritual law. And it's kind of hard to separate that in the Old Testament. So don't ask me really to give you definitive answer on where, because I think they were tied together. But it's not that way anymore. It's one reason I could care less about politics. Because I got the Bible, and that rules our life, doesn't it? Okay? Now, when we follow God, we're going to be a good part of the political system that we live in. It's just the way it works. Because God says, obey the law of the land. Okay? And so we're going to work and do this. So we'll be good citizens, but our primary responsibility is being good citizen of the kingdom, and that by doing that, we will be a good citizen in this nation. And so, but at any rate, there was a judicial system, and Jesus was referring back to that. And so it's interesting to notice that, and a lot of times we look at some of the things in the new and we begin to ask questions about the differences, and maybe, you know, Jesus, it used to be this way, but it's this way now. You know what? The thought of the heart is really not something new to the New Testament. You know, somebody mean to me today, and I'm supposed to even try to think good thoughts of them when they've been mean to me. And you had anybody be mean to you? Me too. And so, but notice in Deuteronomy chapter 19, and this is, I think, something important for us to recognize. These are just not new concepts in God's mind that He brought in the New Testament, but it's something that He intended for people really all along. Watch this. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, starting in verse 16, it says, "If a false witness rise up against a man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and has testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put away the evil from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thy eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot." So in other words, he's saying that if somebody accuses somebody of something, and if they were thinking to do evil to them when it was not justly there, and the judge determines that they were not guilty and this person was intended to do them evil, whatever punishment that person would have received because of the thoughts of that person's heart, they should be punished accordingly. Whatever they wanted to bring on this, it was death. They were to die. Wow. You know, and of course, in the New Testament, you know, we talked about thoughts. What about the thoughts in our hearts that we feel, but we don't verbalize? Well, we hold that tongue in, and we work at it to give it all that we've got. And in time, I think our thoughts will follow. That doesn't mean it's easy. How many of us don't struggle with that? Okay? We know, we think, we see, we understand, you know. But therefore, you know, we've got a problem with this. And so when somebody does something to us and hurts us, are we to have evil thoughts of them? I wonder if Jesus had evil thoughts of the soldiers that hammered the nails in his hand. I think he was kind of had the attitude that Roy had. And he was compassionate. That don't mean Roy's got it perfect when his neighbors blare music in the middle of the night and wake him up. He's going to work on that one. But But the thoughts are there. But the thing is, Jesus had good thoughts to those that had done evil to him. And so when he's talking to us about turning the other cheek, we need to understand that this is an important thing for us. Now, in the Old Testament, we were looking at a judicial system. But Jesus isn't talking about a judicial system. He's putting this on a personal level. Okay, and so I could go around and call everybody's name here and say, okay, this is personally about you and me. Okay, because it is. Now, it's kind of neat because in the Lord's church, in the kingdom of God, we have a rule of faith that we are to follow and obey. And that's a personal thing between you and me, or between you and God, me and God. Okay, now you can choose to not obey God and suffer. You know, it's just the way it works. You know, I suffer when I sin. And I don't like suffering. And when people do things to me that hurts me, if I try to do back to them, then they take up free rent. Okay? So here I didn't turn the other cheek, but I tried to do them the same way they did to me. And so therefore, they've taken up free rent in my head. You know, I love that saying, Carrie. Thank you. And I don't want to give somebody free rent. I intend people to pay their rent. Okay? You know, I got you know, when it's the end of the month, you know, or the beginning of the month, and I expect the rent to be in there. And but I don't want this free rent, because I'll tell you what, that's a problem. It don't work too good. It creates a lot of problems. And so you're looking at the Old Testament. We're looking at this on a personal level. Now, so let's look at this. Here we go. Something's going on in your life. What do you do when you're mistreated? Okay? Oh, wow. What can we think of? We're talking about city government. We're talking about neighbors. We're talking about misunderstandings. What are we talking about? I don't know. Okay? Each of us know what's going on in our head, and each of us have things that we feel bad about, whether it's, you know, sometimes pull up to the stop sign and they go instead of giving you a chance, and it's your turn, clearly your turn, you didn't come and stop at the same time. So what do? Shake the fist, you smile and wave. I think we need to stop and think about it. You see, Jesus is teaching us in verses 39 and 40 back in Matthew chapter 5 that our responsibility in our response to people is so very important. And Jesus says in 39 and 40 Matthew 5, "But I say to you that you resist not evil." Now, you know, if they pulled out in front of you, they probably didn't even mean anything evil by it. How many times have you done that to somebody else? You know, and I really had to wake up to this because, you know, I'm a pretty forthright driver, okay? I like to move. I like that car moving. And every bit of that speed limit, okay? And so I want to move right along. I mean, I'm used to Jamaica where there's three of us in the intersection at once, okay? And everybody does it all the time, so it's no big deal. But you know what? I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the others also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, give him have thy cloak also. You know, resisting evil is the natural reflection that we have. And everybody here deals with something on a daily basis that is a challenge to you, where you're dealing with people that do things that upset you. Jesus is saying, let it go. You know, what song? The Lion King? Let it go, let it go. I don't know if I... What was that?
Frozen.
Frozen, okay. I can't keep up. Thank you. I appreciate that. Frozen. I'm glad she responded to that. I've never seen Frozen, okay? I think I saw Lion King. But, so, let it go. You know, we create so much problem in our life because we don't let it go. Some of the things that the children, some of these movies, such a profound statement, you know. And I think it was a whole song because Cassie used to sing it all the time, I think, Let It Go.
Cassie.
Eric and Holly's little girl. Guys, don't resist the evil, because what happens normally when we start to resist the evil? We start pushing back hard. That means that we end up being the one that sins, right? Also, not only do they sin against us, but we sin against them. And against who do we really sin against? We sin against God. God's saying don't. He's trying to protect us. He's trying to give us a good life. We need to see the wisdom. Now let's stop for just a minute. Somebody does something to us. It upsets us. It bothers us. So, naturally, what do we want to do? Go right back at them. I'm going to get you. They took up free rent. We retaliated. So now what are they going to do? They're coming back at us, aren't they? And so what did we really accomplish? Did we create an edifying relationship that we can lead them to Jesus? Hey, look. They just got proved that all Christians are hypocrites in the first place, because that's what they thought to begin with. And they ain't going to listen to us when we come to them with kind words about, I'd love to invite you to Friends and Family Day. And they say, you hypocrite, why would I want to go with you? You're as bad as I am. and you know what? Look, we've all been guilty. And I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm talking to me here. You got to understand. Because I've been hurt many times, okay? And I know how hard it is to not come back at people with rude, unkind, equal force that they came to me. But really, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And He came to those that were sick and hurting. And He looked out on the soldiers that hammered the nails in His hands and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you think that didn't have a profound effect on those soldiers? There was one of them said, truly He was the Son of God. That's not a quote, but that was the deal. He seemed to have recognized and understood. Guys, see the wisdom in what God is saying. Recognize the responsibility that we have to go forward and to give it all that we've got to lead others to Jesus. And we do it by our example. And retaliation is not going to do it to lead them further away. Push them away and just prove to them that this Christianity nonsense, a bunch of stupidity, all these thinking Christians, they're just hypocrites. And we've got to be careful of that. Now I'm going to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and starting in verse 17, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Don't pay him back evil for evil. If they do evil to you, let's find a different way to deal with that. What is it? He said, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Oh man, there's so many principles here that just keep going and going on. And here in verse 18, it tells us that it's not always easy. Sometimes he says it's not possible. He says, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Sometimes there's some pretty difficult conflicts where some people aren't going to allow peace. And I realize that that does happen. But I also believe that, for the most part, when we follow what He says, that it's going to come out a lot better than what we think if we follow His principles. That's the key. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now that's a pretty scary thought, because Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to take care of it. The problem is, if you take care of it, that He's going to be taking care of you too. Okay? I don't want God to take care of me. I do want to take care of me, but I want it to be positive. Okay? I'm glad that I've got Jesus, because I've messed up many times. Okay? I understand that. I look at the teaching, and the more I look at it, the more I have these thoughts that I really want to act on. But I've got to keep my mind centered on the Spirit and what the Spirit teaches. The guidance and the blessings and the help that He gives. You know, I tell you what, if I've got evil thoughts and I want help, I'm going to come to you one of you and say, I need help. We've got to talk about this. I need some encouragement. I need some strength. I need some words that will edify and bring grace to my life so that I'll spread that grace into somebody else's life that's trying to hurt me, trying to make my life miserable. And so these are the teachings that God gives us. And can you imagine? Can't you see the wisdom in that? I don't want anybody to take free rent in my head. I really don't. And then there's that passage, be still and know that I am God. Look, you know, if we seek vengeance, what do we know? We're in charge and we can do it, right? And not that God is God and He will take care of it. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Make sure that we recognize that God is God and that God will take care of the problems that we have. And that's where we need to come to, and that's what we need to recognize. Don't resist. Don't resist. And so when you're mistreated, let it continue. Back in Matthew 5, 39 and 40, you don't see any retaliation. You just see, okay, do it again. You know, I'll smite thee on the, whoever smites thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. You know? Is there any retaliation? Is there any stopping it? No. Okay. He continues. If anybody sues you at the law, takes your coat, here, he can have this too. I want to go to look at King David. And David is an amazing example for you and I in 1 Samuel chapter 24. Just watch him. Now, King David, he had been anointed king. And he was running for his life by this king that was trying to kill him with everything that he had. He had his armies out after him, and he was trying to get him. And in 1 Samuel 24, 4 through 7, it says, and the men of David said to him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good to thee. Then David arose, cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately, and it came to pass afterward that David's servant, David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. And watch this. David also arose afterward, went out after the cave, cried after Saul, saying, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. This man was in the process of hunting him down to kill him. David's heart smote him because he cut off a part of his clothing and refused with full, easy ability to kill the man that was trying to kill him. David was a man after God's own heart. Remember that? Go to chapter 26, verses 7 through 9. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster, and Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thy enemy into thy hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Saul was in the process of trying to kill him. David refused to stop him and let him go on his way. All right, so let's look at one more. And to me, this is another one that just blows my mind. You know, we search and struggle for wealth and prosperity, and we do everything we can to get it. And here, Abraham told Lot, he said, we can't both live in the same place. He said, you're going to have to go one direction, I'll go the other. He said, you can go over there where it's well watered, or you can stay here where it's arid and dry. You choose, do what you want, I'll go the other direction. And so Lot chose the well watered wonderful pastures for his flocks, and left Abraham with the drier place for his. She must have said goodbye.
Bye, Shelley.
And in Genesis chapter 14, after Lot had been taken captive by the enemies, this man who had chose the best place for himself, it says, "And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued after them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued unto them Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and his women, and also and the people. And he saved him." And let him go right back to the good place that he was. Let it continue. "Be still and know that I am God." God bless David. God bless Abraham immensely. Do you think for a minute that he wouldn't do the same for you and I? Guys, are you living for God? Or is he on the back burner of your life? What takes precedence in your life over God's will? Is it an enemy? Guys, we need to allow God to work in our life. And really, God doesn't, he's not looking for us to do some amazing thing. All he wants us to do is follow what he says. And that's not that hard, really. When you look at, what do I get out of it? And you say, oh my, that's way more than I expected. Way more than I dreamed. And we still want to fight and kick against the goads as Saul did before he became the Apostle Paul. I don't know what you're struggling with. I can only know what I'm struggling with. But I want you to follow whatever God says in those struggles and let God do it. You know, one of the things that, to me, the most thing, amazing thing about being a Christian is forgiveness. There's forgiveness no other way. Yeah, it's a way to live, but man, is the way better or what? I mean, it's a duh thing. Jesus teaches us how to access that salvation by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Believing what it says, a gaining of faith that comes from that, which we can't please him without it. Be still and know that I am God. Learning what he says and changing our life. Are you really doing what God says? Are you obeying him? Don't expect to be happy if you don't. In fact, if you're not, I hope it haunts you. Is that evil? I don't think that's evil. I think that's a good thing. That's wishing good on somebody. Because if it haunts you, you're going to change. I hope it's not evil. I didn't intend it. But Jesus says, turn your life around and just do what he says. Is it that hard? Repent. Because you'll perish otherwise. Luke 13:3. Jesus Christ has been proven to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Do you believe that? With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Confession about Jesus, that he is the Son of God. means he can tell you what to do. And me. At least I got a good boss. Okay? That only tells me to do the good things that are good for me. Some of these bosses that we have nowadays, they're not so good, right? They can be pretty cruel and wrong. But I got a good one in heaven. Then he tells us to be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sin. So misunderstood. But it's a humble thing to give in to that, to do it the way he says. But it's a choice that we make. But it's a condition that God makes for you and I to find forgiveness. And then he says, just live for him. Okay? Till you die. Live for Jesus until you die and day. And it'll bless our life. And then what's neat is it really blesses eternity. If you were to die today, you're going to heaven. If you haven't done what God says, you're not going to heaven. If you have, that's good. If you're not on the way to heaven right now, the invitation song's for you. It's time to make it right. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation, do it now while we stand and sing.